Amen, amen. I'm so happy to see you and worship God this morning. We have a few announcements. Please find your bulletin with you. And I just want to highlight some of them. Oh yeah, it's going to be, there are some announcement and information on the screen. Yeah, you know, exercise group, we have it Tuesday, Thursday, and we have Wednesday evening Bible study. We are studying John's Gospel. It's really good. You can join us anytime, 7 p.m. And men's group, yeah, Saturday. Everybody knows we have a really good men's group, so 7 a.m. on Saturday. Do we have more? Oh, yes.
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 We're having youth. Oh, sure, I'll say something. We're having a youth group this Sunday. We're going to start through the rest of the summer with just the combined age groups. So it's going to be 1 to 2:30 for the rest of the summer. And then August 13th, we're going to have kind of our big kickoff event. So it's a little bit more casual throughout the summer. If people are unable to make it, we just make it work and go from there. So, the end.
Yep. And yesterday, a few of us went to Habitat for Humanity, and we did a lot of work. Oh, yeah, muscle pain. Are you okay? Did you take some Advil? Oh, yeah. We installed 9 windows, and some of us worked on basement ceiling and garage door floor and outside deck, a lot of work. You can find some picture on our Facebook. Thank you so much. And next time when you go there, please join us. We can have fun. Last Sunday this month, we will have potluck again. We Methodist. We love it. We will have potluck after the second service and potluck with ice cream. So mark it on your calendar. And second Sunday in August, we will do Blessing of the Backpack. Please remember, second Sunday in August, we will have one service. Not two services, one service at 9:30 around the gazebo. Outdoor service, so we will do Blessing of the Backpack, and kids will have fun, water slide. If you want to join, there is no age limitation. You can do that. There will be a huge water slide, so please mark it on your calendar, August 13, 9:30, and we will have outdoor service. And as you see, this month we are collecting laundry detergent and toiletry, and also we are collecting some items for body bags for kids in our local community. If you have any question, please contact Roberta. Yes. And this morning, our liturgist is Mel. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able in body and spirit and join me in the call to worship. We come in from busy summertime days to this place of worship. Come in from stress of everyday life into the light of knowledge. Come into worship with offerings of praise. Please remain standing and join together in singing our opening hymn, Are Ye Able? And that's on page 530, verses 1 and 3.
Dreamers.
It is time for us to share our joys and concerns. During the week, we have a few people who have birthday. Sharon Pritchard and Aaron and Pam. Okay. Oh, we don't have Pam today. Okay. Steve Downs and Aaron Markin. And we also have two couples, Steve and Amy and Fred and Rene. Oh, happy anniversary. Yeah, we can give a big hand. And the people we have on the... Yes?
I said, I need applause. I put up with him for 45 years.
Oh. So it's been 45 years? Oh, yeah. That's special. That's special. Congratulations. And the people, to the people who, I mean, we have on the screen, you can send a card or make a phone call and celebrate the special day with them. And now I'd like to invite you to share your joys and concerns. What joy you want to share as family and prayer request? I'm ready. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Another 45 years? Oh, yes. Thank you.
I got one.
Yes.
I'm very happy. We're happy that we're able to have a, God bless us, that my children, all my three girls are all back in one state. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing. Yes.
Rita's brother Rick is having surgery on Tuesday to remove melanoma.
Uh-huh. Tuesday in the morning or in the afternoon? Or? Okay.
Monday.
Oh, it's Monday. Tomorrow. Yes, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Rita.
Oh.
Yes, Jess. Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I ask her name? What is her name?
Susan.
Susan, okay. Yes, thank you. Please remember Susan in your prayers and also Rick in your prayers. And you know, Roger Jacobs, he's going to have a surgery on 20th on his heart. Upper side of his heart, so please remember him in your prayers. And there was a fire in downtown, and what I heard was one people got killed, and one person was missing, and five families, they lost their houses. Please continue to have the people in your prayers and the communities in your prayers. And if you want to help them, we try to help, I mean, find some items to support them and help them. But at this moment, monetary donation will be the best way. So if you want to help them, you can write a check. On your check, you can write it down, Sterling Fire, I mean, Fire in Downtown. Then 100% will go help the family. And also, please continue to have Jean Partridge a normal person in your prayers. Yes.
Also, Rita's mom fell the other day.
Oh.
And just thankful that nothing was hurt. She went to the ER, had a CAT scan and x-ray, and everything was fine. No, she did hit her head, but no concussion.
Okay.
Just
that's
thankful
good.
For that.
So Dala is okay, right?
Pray that she stopped.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you. Excuse
me.
Okay. Thank you. And now let's turn to God and pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise you. We praise you this morning. Lord, we believe in you, and you listen to our prayers as we share our joys and concerns. Lord, listen to our prayers. This morning, Lord, as we read your scripture, as we sing praise of you, as we center our mind on you, God, renew us, restore us, and give us courage, strength, and guidance. God, we share many names, Lord, remember each one of those names we just named, spoken and unspoken, God. The people who are going to have surgery. Rick and Roger, Lord, touch their body and strengthen their immune system and give all the knowledge, inspiration to their medical team so that they may have the best of the best surgery. And let them feel you and let them feel our prayers. Lord, every day, help us listen to you. Help us find your voice every day so that we may live our days boldly by your love, by your will. And every day, help us think about your work and help us feel your resurrection. God, we need you. We need you every day. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as he was in the beginning, is now,
and let us sing together, Spirit of the Living God.
scripture readings today. The first one is from Luke 17, verse 3. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. Our second reading is from Colossians 3:13. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And finally, from Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive others of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we have been talking about some lessons in the Bible. Yes, as we know, we find 100 or 1,000 lessons in the Bible. So many lessons. But we pick some of them, and we are talking about that these days. The first one was the golden rule. And Jesus commands, do unto others as you want them to do to you. It's simple. But Jesus used the word pantha, that means in every single detail, in every single word, in every single action, we need to practice golden rule. And the second one was Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Let's read it together. That was the second lesson. So let's read it together. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God? We talked about that. And these are the simple commandments. And the Bible promised that when we practice these lessons, we will find more joy and more meaning in life. And the third lesson we are talking about is forgiveness. Last week and today, with preschool classroom lesson, last week we said, I'm sorry. Maybe I need to practice it. I mean, we don't have to make it happen even when you don't, I mean, when you didn't make a mistake. We don't have to say at the moment, we don't have to say I'm sorry, but we need to say I'm sorry. When we make a trouble, when we make a mistake, when you hurt somebody else, and I need to say, I'm sorry. Do you know why? I mean, I gave a permission to Rebecca and Steve, you know, our head ushers, when I preach long, you need to give me a sign. Yeah, this one is wrap it up, cut it out. And this one is too long. You know, last week, right after service, Steve came to me and said, Pastor, you know, today you preached 26 minutes and 15 seconds. My goal is between 15 to 20 minutes, but I talk too much. And I'm so glad you are still here. Last week, I'm sorry. And today, we are going to talk about, I forgive you. Let's explore the beauty of extending forgiveness. When I think about forgiveness, we come across so many stories in the Bible. And one of them is the parable of the prodigal son. Bad son. Prodigal son. And his father, whether you had Sunday school classroom or not when you were little, we know this story. It's a beautiful story that describes the grace, love, and forgiveness of God. When the prodigal son squandered all the money he received from his father, and he returned to his father to be his servant to get something to eat. We know when he approached the town, his father found him from a far distance, and he ran into his son and embraced him, hugged him, and welcomed him. It's a beautiful story. I mean, I can imagine the Father standing on a hill. Maybe it happened to be. He happened to be there on that day, and he happened to see his son coming, and he just go. He found him. But I can imagine the Father standing on a hill every day. Every day, waiting for him. Coming back. It's a beautiful story of forgiveness. It's about God's love and forgiveness. We love that because we find ourselves in the shoes of the prodigal son. Okay, God is the God of the second chance, and God's going to welcome us, and God's going to forgive us, and God's going to restore our life, our dignity. We need to keep this lesson into our heart. Then how about putting ourselves in the Father's shoes and extending forgiveness to somebody that has hurt you? In various ways, so many ways, such as causing financial damage, or verbal abuse, betrayal, or emotional abuse. When you contemplate extending forgiveness, it's not always easy, isn't it? It's tough. It's not always beautiful. It can be challenging, and even it evokes feelings of bitterness. So forgiveness, it doesn't mean we are saying that what you did was okay and acceptable. No. I don't read the Bible that way. A few years ago, I had a person whom I called a friend. I shared something in confidence, but the person violated my trust by sharing it with a few people. And some of them came to me and said, "Are you okay? I have heard something about bad stuff. I'm really sorry to hear that. Is everything okay?" You know, I don't even remember what the issue was. That means probably it was not a big deal, but I remember the feeling disappointed. And later he came to me and said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, I shouldn't have done that." And I said, "Okay, I forgive you. But you know what? I don't think I'm going to share anything in confidence because the violation. I forgive. Forgiveness is done. But future, I don't think forgiving is the same as saying, "I'm going to be a doormat for somebody." It is not about being violent, but rather preventing ourselves from being anchored in the past with bitterness and resentment, hoping for a different outcome in the past, which cannot be changed. So forgiveness is not about the person who harmed, but about myself. So I think of forgiveness when it comes to our relationship with one person who is abusive in so many ways to the others. It can happen in relationship with your spouse, your family members, and anybody. After experiencing verbal or physical or emotional abuse, the abuser might apologize, saying, "I'm sorry, I should never have done that. I won't do it again." In response, the victim might say, "Okay, I forgive you." But just imagine that happens again and again and again. That will risk the victim's well-being. So years ago, somebody came to me and asked my pastoral opinion on his friend's marriage. His friend was a victim of domestic violence. Whenever, I mean, usually her husband was really good, but whenever her husband was drunk, he would beat and punch her. And one day, she ended up in the emergency room. And the next day, he apologized, saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to punch you. I'm not going to harm you." But that happened again and again and again. She couldn't live her life. And finally, she told her mom. But I was really surprised. Her mom talked to her. "You know, you're a Christian. Your husband, your marriage is your cross to bear." And the person who came to me, he said, "Paul, tell me, what do you say? What is your opinion as a pastor?" And do you know what I said? "Call the police right away! No excuse at all, even one time." In many situations and aspects of life, how can we forgive, practice forgiveness? In that situation, how can we practice forgiveness as a Christian? In Luke's Gospel, Jesus says that forgiveness is essential. The person's friend. How can she practice forgiveness? If somebody sins, you must address the offense. If the offender acknowledges the wrongdoing and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. That's what the Bible said we have. But what if the offender never repents, never asks for forgiveness, and never change? What do we do? The answer can be complex. It's challenging at times. However, in any case, it's not about the offender, but about ourselves, our dignity, who we are as God's beloved one. We need to consider and practice forgiveness, not for the sake of the offender at all, but for our spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being. We know holding on to bitterness and resentment, it feels like carrying so heavy burden on our shoulder. Not the offender's shoulder, but mine. My shoulder. It consumes our lives, not the offender's lives. It hurts us, not the offender. And let me remind you, sometimes forgiveness means relinquishing, giving up the right to seek retribution, giving up the right to revenge. It involves giving up the right to hold on to bitterness and resentment. It means walking away from the harm that has physically, emotionally, mentally hurt you. So forgiveness, it set us free. I've mentioned many times that Bible is all about God's unconditional love for you. God's love for you. Yes, going to heaven, that's one of the key. But the Bible is not about having a ticket to heaven. Coming to church is not about having a ticket to heaven. It is about God's love, restoration, and our dignity as God's beloved. As we contemplate this, we realize forgiveness, giving up bitterness and resentment. It's very important in our life and in the Bible as well. And it is particularly a really big issue in the New Testament where it reaches the climax with a theological terminology, a crescendo. Crescendo, it means Jesus comes and embodies forgiveness for you and me. It teaches us this is the path that we are meant to follow. His life is all about love, forgiveness, and restoration. We sang the first one, "Are you able to be crucified?" Yes, I don't know how you read it, but crucifixion, the hurt, bitterness, pain, that is what we feel every day whenever we got hurt. Somebody abused you with their word, action. That's the crucifixion in our lives. Then what's going to be the resurrection? Restoration in our lives, finding our dignity as God's beloved. You remember the disciple, they came to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and they asked Jesus how they should pray. And Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer. It is the only prayer that Jesus taught us. And in this prayer, we say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We recite this part of the prayer every Sunday, right? We do this. Forgive me just as I forgive those who have hurt me, whether directly or indirectly, through their word, action, and deed, and many kinds. And in this prayer, we say, "God, forgive me in the same way, to the same degree, I'm willing to forgive." You see? It's a very dangerous prayer. The Lord's Prayer, it's a really dangerous prayer. It is a prayer that carries a great deal of risk. Technically, we are limiting the extent to which God will forgive us. We are limiting God's grace with that simple prayer. You know, as a pastor, I need to lead the prayer, sitting right there, praying with you the Lord's Prayer, but in my mind, I didn't say that out loud, but whenever, sometimes, when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I feel like, ouch, oh my goodness, God, please, come on, are you really sure? Oh Lord, have mercy on me. That is about forgiveness. That is about forgiveness. And I love Peter in Matthew's Gospel. Peter asked Jesus, "Teacher, how many times should I forgive others?" I don't think the question came out of his curiosity. No. I can sense his anger, his bitterness. I can feel his frustration. It is as if Peter came to Jesus seeking Jesus' permission, asking, "Teacher, tell me, how many times should I forgive and wait until I punch him? Give me the permission. I'm ready to punch him. He has done so bad. I have waited for 7 times. Can I do it now?" Have you felt in your past, okay, I'm a Christian, Jesus talked a lot about forgiveness, and you endured again and again. God, how many times? I think the Old Testament was easy. 7 is easy. But some translation said Jesus, he mentioned 77 times. Some other translation, 70 times 7. To me, it is like infinite number. Infinite number. And I felt really sorry for Peter because I believe he had counted, okay, one time, twice, second, third, okay, 7 times. I've done it. Now I'm going to ask Jesus permission. And I find myself in Peter sometimes. And Jesus said, the law of Moses 7 times. But I tell you, forgiveness is key to your life. Apostle Paul said, bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must forgive now. Bear one another. I often read this passage at wedding services, hoping the couple will bear with one another and forgive each other throughout their marriage life. You know, you recognize him, right? Preacher Billy Graham and his wife, Ruth. One time Ruth said, a happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers. You know, what she said comforts me a lot. Even the wife of the great preacher, Billy Graham's wife, she mentioned forgiveness in her marriage life. And this lesson, the lesson about the importance of forgiveness, is not just about marriage life. It is all about our relationship with any kind. It is true. Forgiveness is not about the offender, but about yourselves, your relationship with God, and your relationship with a person, another person, people around you, and your relationship with yourself. The Bible, to me, is all about God's love and your well-being and your dignity as God's beloved. Forgiveness is the key to bringing healing, restoration, and peace with God and ourselves. The ability to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you, is a gift from God, who wants us to be renewed, restored, valued, and loved. Let's practice. Preschool lesson. I'm sorry, and I forgive you. You know, God is waiting for us to practice it. God is going to work in our life. Amen. Communion has so many different meanings in our lives. It is about God's trust, it is about God's love, it is about God's commandment, it is about our decision to follow Jesus, and I believe it is about Jesus' forgiveness. The last night, he knew what was going to happen. The last night, he knew he's going to have a tough 24 hours. And he knew who's going to betray him, but he shared the bread and wine. Even before that happened, Jesus already made forgiveness and gave them the second chance, forgiveness. So as we take the bread and wine, let's ask God's forgiveness and ask courage and strength to practice it for our dignity as God's beloved. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Lord, bless each one of us. We have come to you, Lord, with all different situations, conditions, and challenges. But we have come to you, God, asking for your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your strength, so that we may live by your love. God, bless each one of us, and also bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion. Make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that as we take them, make us the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. Amen. Shall we? Stand here. It is not my table, it is Jesus' table. Whether you are baptized or not, whether you are a Methodist or not, whether you are a Christian or not, whether you are a Muslim or Buddhist or not, if you are willing to come close to God and receive the elements of the Holy Communion, you're welcome to come. Let the Lord feed you, nurture you, and guide you. Okay, a while ago we did, this time right after the communion, we say, okay, let's find something to be, something you felt grateful during the week. Something God moment during the week, or the moment you felt really grateful for God, or happy moment. Let's say that, how about that? Who's gonna start? Yes, Dala. Yeah.